Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Pensacola Business Radio on it's a lovely October morning. We've got some great guests in our studio today. I have Mr. Eric Stevenson from Stevenson Cloates Law Firm.
Hey. How are you doing, Keith?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good.
And I have Mr. Bill Sheffield, who is like the master of realty, I understand.
That would be me.
What is it? Where there's a bill, there's a way?
Absolutely.
That's it. So, Eric, let's talk about the firm. I know you broke out on your own here just recently, so tell us about it.
Well, yeah, back in February, my friend Chris Klotz and I decided to start our own firm. It'd been in the making for a couple of months. And so we located down on Palafox Street, at the corner of Palafox and Intendencia, back in February. And we're doing, personal injury and criminal law.
Great. So you like working downtown?
I love it. It's exciting.
It's a hub now, isn't it?
Yeah, man. You know, I left downtown in 2003 when I left the state attorney's office, and, essentially been in East Hills since that time. And what a difference 12 years makes.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I remember when there was tumbleweeds rolling through it. I've said that 100 times every time somebody talks about Palafox or just downtown in general.
Yeah. It's a fun place to practice.
Yeah. I bet. And you got a pretty nice view, aren't you? You're pretty close to the water, aren't you?
We're a few blocks from the water, but I mean, you know, we're 2 blocks from the state courthouse, 2 blocks from the federal courthouse.
Nice.
And we practice
walk.
At both. So we can walk. Yeah. It's wonderful.
Well, let's talk about that. You said state attorney's office, but what other, I mean, tell us about the law career. I want to know what all
you've
done.
Yeah, so, you know, I was a prosecutor for 2 years. I've had a civil practice.
I didn't do it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's what I spend my time now telling people, right? Yeah. My clients didn't do it. But, yeah, you know, that was good experience for me, both doing civil work and doing criminal defense. As a personal injury lawyer, you know, I essentially prosecute people for negligence,
right?
And so that was really good experience for me to get in front of juries and to be able to learn learn how to prove a case,
right?
Which is what you do when you do plaintiff's work. And then, of course, you really learn criminal law from the other side when you're a prosecutor. So
yeah,
that's that was part of my practice, and I've done personal injury, you know, essentially the entire time that I was not at the state attorney's office too,
right? And then you're still doing a lot of the DUI stuff as well, correct?
Yeah, I do a lot of DUI defense. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think's been your most crazy case? Strangest case, you know, within your limit of ability to speak about.
You know, I don't know. I'll think about strangest. My first big case was, man, I was maybe 6 months out of law school, maybe not even that.
Yeah.
I'd only been a lawyer for a couple of months. And I represented a young girl who was kicked out of PHS for possessing some nail clippers.
Mm-hmm.
They said it was a weapon because the little file at the end of it.
Right.
And so, I mean, I had to, we had a number of hearings, had a hearing before a hearing officer, which was essentially a trial where the hearing officer upheld the expulsion, wound up having to go to the school board for an appeal.
Right.
And luckily convinced the school board to let her back into school. And it was a total knee-jerk reaction to, you know, weapons.
Welcome
school.
To law.
Yeah, right. You know, I mean, it was national news. It was pretty crazy, but it was a fun case. I learned a lot. It was a good one to cut my teeth on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what you're practicing now and the services that you guys offer. Because I know you're a lot bigger now than, I mean, it was just you two starting off this firm, and you guys sort of brought some cases that you already had. But
correct.
Now, I mean, you guys have expanded. I mean, you have a huge client base at this point.
Yeah,
right?
We do. In fact, you know,
but you can always use more. Let's put
absolutely,
that in there.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have a large client base, but we don't have a large caseload.
Right.
Right. And, you know, we like to say we're a small firm that takes on big cases, and which means that we have more time to devote to those big cases.
Yeah.
I know a lot of personal injury firms focus on volume. Let's get as many cases as we can in and turn them and churn them for just a little bit of money. And that equals to a large amount of money each year. We prefer to focus on some of the bigger cases and really work those to maximize the value in them. So, but we do have a large client base,
right?
And we try to network within that client base. You know, that's the best way to get referrals is from people you've already represented who are
sure.
happy.
Yeah, especially in this town.
Yeah. between the two of us, we have a pretty good client base.
Good news travel slow, and bad news will always cover you up.
That's the truth.
And there is such thing as bad bad publicity.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, and it's similar to your business.
I know. You literally, when they say you get one chance to make a good impression, that's not true. We have to make a good impression every time we're out there.
Yeah.
And it just never stops. But that's good.
Yeah, you know, well,
that's good. That's the way it ought to be.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm coming into your office. I mean, what are things that I need you for?
Well, if you've been in a car wreck and you're injured, then that's one time you might want to call us. Absolutely. You know, we also are involved with we've represented people in police brutality cases.
Sure.
In federal court, some false arrest cases. We also we've got a case we just filed right now. It'd be pretty rare that we would file on this kind of case, but we've got a case where a client of ours was a victim of domestic violence. Hmm. And, those are not always cases that you would file a lawsuit on.
Sure.
Because we're very picky about them, but that's a real good case that I think, you know, we'll probably be going to trial in the next year or so. Yeah.
Some new experience for you.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
In a case like that, are you going after another insurance company? Or are you going after a person? Or?
Well, you know, and that's part of the decision that we make, right? Ordinarily, the police are going to prosecute the case and the person's going to go to jail or be on probation or whatever's going to happen. And I think there may be some criminal, there's going to be a criminal aspect to this that's going to be handled in another court system. But in this case, you know, to put somebody through living through that all over again, you got to make sure that it's worth their time. Yeah. So we did an assets check and we found that this person, this guy owns some assets, he owns some real estate in different places. Mm-hmm. And so, we had to make the decision. Is it worth it to us to file the lawsuit? I mean, nobody just wants to go after a piece of paper and get a judgment.
Yeah, that's sure.
That's
not to mention, just the mental stuff you're going to have to go through after a domestic violence act.
If you want to win, you need to win.
Absolutely. You know, and in Florida, your homesteaded property, you can't attach a judgment to that. Uh-huh. So most people, unfortunately, who would be in this type of situation, you know, most of the time the abuser's only going to own own their own house.
Or
they're going to be asset.
A 62 Dodge.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so they're going to be judgment proof.
Yeah.
Right. But this was an extraordinary case and, we're happy to take it on. So, you know, when people are injured, I guess what I would suggest is if somebody was injured and they wanted to find out, is it worth my while to pursue a legal remedy? Yeah, call us.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not going to make someone unnecessarily, go through the legal process, which is a painful process, if it's not going to be worth their time and if it's not worth our time.
Sure. So, I'm going to contest here because you helped me with a really bad accident I had a long time ago.
Sure.
And it was for me, it was more of just weeding through the insurance jargon because I know that's huge. And most people, it's sort of like the healthcare act. You read it, but you glaze over.
We all have. One time, a long, long time ago, I was clearly somebody was stealing $10 worth of gas and pulled out and hit my van back that and flipped it three times. And, you know, I'm hurt bad. My truck's gone, out of work, everything else. And so I said, well, this is a clear case. I won't mention the insurance company. I said, they're going to give me my money. It's clear.
Right. You know? You would think, but
would
then
think,
not so much.
But it's not. They just drag it. I mean, the insurance companies, in my opinion, force you to have attorneys.
I agree.
I mean, I never have.
Which I guess from his side, though, that's a good business model.
Well, it is a good thing, but it doesn't. They wound up paying more than I was asking for at the beginning.
Right.
So your law firm does a lot of that, right? I mean, you guys have tons of people that are asking to weed through that stuff, or at least, you know, give it a look over to make sure they're not getting jerked around.
Yeah, I mean, in a typical car wreck case, we're dealing with my client's own personal injury protection insurance that will pay some medical bills. We're dealing with the at-fault driver's insurance.
Right.
We are also dealing with, hopefully my client has uninsured motorist coverage insurance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we're dealing with that adjustment.
Yeah, because that's big in the state of Florida, isn't it?
Oh, you better have it.
Yeah, because people just, you're not required to have bodily injury coverage in Florida. And then we're also generally dealing with health insurance.
Sure.
We may also be dealing with Medicare, Medicaid, TRICARE. Yeah. And so sometimes we're juggling five different insurance policies.
And you also are responsible for all of the money. You're also responsible for making sure every bill that's associated with that is paid. It's got to go through.
Goes where it needs to go.
It's a strong financial burden on you.
Absolutely. I mean, when the money comes in, we want to make sure that to the extent possible, when our client leaves, that all their medical bills are settled, that they don't have to deal with this case
medical
financially.
Medical bills
anymore.
Cost people from getting houses.
Absolutely do. Yeah, you know that.
Which Bill doesn't like that business model.
Y'all need to do something about it. It does.
Now, I understand, though, is it true that credit reporting agencies don't attribute as much weight to medical bills than they used to?
You know what? It depends on the lender. But most times you're correct. And a whole lot of times, and you know, I tell people real quick, Eric, that I don't sell money, I sell houses. But they can affect you. They can affect your scores. Your scores can affect everything that happens to you. Some of them can be done away with, you know, but it takes some time. But medical expenses typically will cause delays, serious delays. And could cause you to lose exactly the house you want. You know, you get a contract on a house, this pops up. They we can't get it done in time. The seller says, well, you know, I want to sell my house. So they move on. So thank you for taking care of those medical things. That's important. People don't understand how important it is.
No, it really is.
Well, let's go back to that because like three phone calls, I think Eric fixed my issue. You know, and then, of course, we were just waiting for the insurance companies to hopefully act in good faith. That's it. Acting good faith, which they did. And so it, you know, then the time to just get past the wreck and all that, it went very quickly. But what else do you guys see a lot of that's happening, you know, due to insurance companies or the other pieces of that you guys defend or go after?
What I see from a lot of insurance companies is, there are a couple out there who somebody will get in a car wreck and the insurance company is on the scene. You know, they have cars. So we come to the scene. They'll come to the scene and say, hey, look, we'll take care of the property damage for your car. Go to this shop and they'll repair it. And that's part of their process. They have a contract with them and that's fine. Mm-hmm. And then they'll say, and hey, you don't appear to be hurt. So, you know, we'll give you $500 or something for personal injury. Well, you know, I don't know how many of you work out in the yard. Or maybe help a neighbor move some furniture.
Right.
Or get your hand infected.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
And
yeah,
2 days later, you're thinking, what is wrong with my back?
Right.
Right? Those types of injuries take a couple of days to develop and for you to realize that you're hurt. But the person on the scene thinks, hey, I'm fine. We don't need to call an ambulance. So, yeah, I'll take $500, man. My insurance company's
anybody
looking out for me.
Anybody that ever gets touched in a wreck needs to go to a chiropractor that day or the next.
Yeah.
I mean, but you don't know. I mean, pain does not oftentimes show up for a week or so.
Oh, I think my wreck was pretty bad. I mean, as far as the impact and bouncing around and stuff, but my pain didn't show up till almost 4 or 5 days later.
That's normal.
You know, so you give me the $500 and then what? I got pain and you can't do anything, right?
Nothing you can do because you signed a release.
That's a buyout, right? Isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, those are very tough releases to get out of. You have to assume, I mean, go talk to a lawyer. Right. And let a lawyer look at the paperwork and see for sure. But the warning is you almost need to assume that you can't get out of that release.
Right.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question? You said something when you started out that your prosecuting career helped you because you understand the courtroom.
Sure.
I would never, ever want to have a personal injury lawyer that was not good in the courtroom because sometimes if the other side knows that you are,
right.
That causes settlement to happen quicker.
Yeah, I think so. And if you prepare every case at the beginning as if you were going to trial, then at those times where there are settlement opportunities, you can present your case to the other side and get them to understand
how often
what their witnesses are.
Do you do mediation? Does that happen often? I went through one with that thing I went through.
Sure. You know, we file lawsuits, I don't know. 25% of our cases do we wind up filing lawsuits on. And you don't go to a mediation unless you file a lawsuit. But in this jurisdiction, just about every judge in this jurisdiction is going to order you to a mediation.
Right.
So I would say, you know, 99% of our cases go to a mediation. Now, not all of them settle at a mediation.
Right.
But I'd say 99% of them go to mediation if we file a lawsuit.
That's a pretty good system, isn't it?
It is. It's one of the few times. It's the only time
you have. It's fast and quick if it works out right.
And you have control over the case. Yeah. You're not leaving it in the hands of six people on a jury or a judge to make the decisions.
It helped to settle that time of mine. And I will never forget the guy that was a mediator said this at the start. He said, everybody's going to leave here not happy.
Right.
Yeah.
That's compromise.
Yeah. That's it.
But we're here to settle this.
Yeah.
And it didn't settle it in that room, but the next day my attorney got word that they were willing to do what was necessary to do.
Yeah. And, you know, the other side to it is if it doesn't settle, you know, if you do a good job at mediation, you're explaining your side of the case. So the other side will hopefully agree with you that maybe you have a strong case. Mm-hmm. So you learn a lot about the other side's case too.
Yeah.
Right. So it helps a little bit with trial preparation
right.
as well.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. Good. There's a whole strategy to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Eric, if somebody wants to call you, get in touch with you, find out what your firm does, give us some of your.
Sure. So our number is pretty easy to remember. It's 444-0000.
And how much do you pay for that?
Yeah, we got that's a good like, number.
Yeah. Was that luck of the draw or did you just ask
for
it?
No.
I wound up with that number. A good friend of mine, when I left the state attorney's office and was going out.
Well, that's a billboard.
Yeah. It's good for a billboard. We need to get one. But a good friend of mine was closing down his practice and was moving to the Keys, and he had this number. And so I helped him wind down his practice a little bit, and in return he gave me the number, and I've had it for a long time.
Yeah.
So
you got the best end of that deal.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That is a really good phone number.
And and our website is www.stevenson, Stevenson, Klotz, KLOTZ.com.
Very cool. And then
Facebook?
Yeah, so you got Facebook.
Yeah, we've got Facebook. We've got Twitter. We have we're on LinkedIn and then we've got this new thing called Meerkat, which is pretty cool, which is live
streaming.
Somebody
mentioned that the other day.
What is that?
Well, there are two platforms. Some people use Periscope, some people use Meerkat, and I can't remember why we made the decision to use Meerkat, but it's social media for live streaming. So, in fact, I can do it right now.
I'm going to put video in this studio because when we do things, we're doing the techie shows and all that stuff. I want people to be able to see it, not just live, but in motion. So, we've been talking about doing that.
You want to do Meerkat or Periscope. And, I can stream.
Really? And you just.
And I'm streaming right now. I'm showing Bill on the video and I'm showing you.
Touch a smile, Facebook radio. Yeah.
And look, I can switch it around.
Right.
Now we're all on there.
That's cool.
And as you do it, you'll see that people start watching you.
Right.
And they're watching it, and it says you got so many followers, and people are liking it.
Sure. What is that called? I got to write this down.
It's called Meerkat, Meerkat.
So how are you using this for the firm?
Well, right now, so we have a cool thing we're doing in our law firm. We've set up this thing called the Youth Music Project. We're right on Palafox Street. And so we don't have the whole concept, out yet, but on gallery nights, we set up a stage in front of our office. And right now we kind of have a process where we are letting young kids play. We have drum set. We have PA system set up and amps and we're letting kids come play music.
You know who you need to get to know is the folks at Blue Angel Music.
Our guitarist, my law partner, Chris, he's networked in with them, and I think he's speaking with them a little bit about that.
You know, they do that blues on the bay.
Yeah, right.
And those are some great folks. She's an ambassador with me.
Uh-huh.
I'll introduce you to
them.
Yeah,
I'd love to
participate with you in that.
And
provide instruments and everything else, I'm sure. I don't mean I ain't volunteering for
No. Well, we're still figuring this thing out. Lately, we've had Michael Lockwood, who owns Pensacola Music Company, he's had his kids come and play.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been using Meerkat during that. I'll stand out there and I'll show the kids.
Right.
And I mean, you get people all across the country.
Oh, of course.
Liking it.
Yeah.
But it's also a good way if there's breaking news or something that you want to put on your website. Yeah. You know, the Supreme Court just came out with such and such decision.
Steve Spurrier just resigned.
Right. Right.
quarterback at Florida can't play no more.
Yeah. Right.
That happened after Tennessee played him. I don't get it.
Well, what do you expect? So real quick, let's let the cat out of the bag because you're in local mullet, right? You guys are still playing like crazy.
Yeah, we still play music. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we get out, probably 8, 10, 12 times a year and play. Mm. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So the bow tie comes off and the drumsticks come out.
Ross Ornstein and the folks that they play on bands on the beach. I can't remember the name. They've got a female singer. It'll come to me. I know Ross well. Been in music here forever, I guess.
Yeah. So, and I meant to ask you this too. The neighborhood thing you guys did a couple of years ago in East Hill.
Yeah.
Are they still doing that?
You know, David's office. So that was, with my last law firm. I was working with David Sellers and Kim Skavasky, and they did something recently. David invited me to it, and I was out of town that weekend. Yeah. And, he's got a really good lot behind his building, and it's a great place to do that. But that's partly where Chris and I got the idea to do what we're doing in front of our office. Because we had bands play and.
Yeah, you got your own stage now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. We need to work to keep gallery nights happening once a quarter. I mean, you know, they're going to try to say they can't fund it, but some of y'all that's down there need to fund it, help them fund it.
Well, you know, part of the problem is some of the businesses participate, but they don't pay the participation fee.
Right.
I mean, I'm proud to say we do, right? Yeah. But it's voluntary, and some of the businesses, you know, they're open, but they don't throw in $100 or whatever it is each time.
Yeah. Well, we should shame them.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm trying to do.
Well, I mean, obviously in the crowds and the exposure that you get
in that city. Oh, that's 15,000 people.
Yeah, there, man. Yeah. It's awesome.
That's right. So, yeah.
Well, cool, man. Well, stick around, obviously. Thanks for coming out today and all that. And next time you're going to have to bring me a title track from Local Mullet.
Yeah, man.
I'd love to hear
play it through the board, man, and just rock out.
Okay, so, cool.
Send me an MP3 of some of your music.
Okay, I'll do that, Bill. Yeah, thanks.
So, Bill, obviously you do a little bit more than real estate from our conversations this morning. So, but tell me what you're doing now and.
Well, just kind of like Eric. What I have always felt like, if you're going to employ a realtor, what you need to do is to get a really good realtor. And the main benefit I offer to people that's hired me as a realtor is I'm the best realtor that's out there.
And Bill knows everybody.
I know. And you know, Eric, it's, you know, you were talking about the things that happened when you were first doing it. I'm in my 20th year. I've had well over 1,000 transactions.
Mm-hmm.
If something surprises me, it's weird.
Right. Yeah.
But you still get them though, right?
I promise you something will happen this week that'll be different than I've ever had to deal with. But my point is this. Nothing is going to throw me. I mean, where there's a bill, there's a way, Eric, is my statement of fact.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a way to where I can do it, to where it's legal, ethical, moral, and meets the Rotary four-way test, I'm going to do it.
Right.
You know, I'm going to find a way. If it's not, there's not a way to do it. I mean, there's just... I told somebody when the second year of real estate, they wanted me to do something with the closing where the other guy gave them money back, which is illegal. And I said, well, let me see. I pretty much think that my real estate license is probably worth about $5 or $10 million over my life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you'll give me that.
I'll bow out cordially and go hang out and play music.
Give you my license.
Right.
But it, you know, naturally they never want to follow through with that, but real estate and we're in a good market. We're in a transition right now from, you know, we've been a buyer's market forever since the crash in late 06, early middle 07.
Oh man, don't jinx it.
08. but it's still not a buyer's market. It's somewhere in the middle. We've been carrying 3,000 active listings in our MLS now for 4 years.
But it's not the same active listings though, right? I mean, my understanding is you get a lot of turnover now.
You are. If a seller wants to listen to me and price a house right based upon the condition that it's in and where it is, we'll sell the house in a short period of time.
Sure.
When market starts moving, and we really, since the beginning of 13, have probably increased our value somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 or 15%, which is a really phenomenal jump.
But yeah.
That's from way down. You know, that's from as close to the bottom as we can possibly get. So it's still very, very good, but the market never lies, Eric. It doesn't lie. The market's going to tell you what something's worth.
Right.
It ain't going to fib to you. It's not going to lie to you. If we even sell it for more than it's worth, we got an appraiser coming behind us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can only go so far. You know, you can only wiggle so much.
And the bank's not going to let you have the money.
Right.
So why try? I always tell folks when I'm at the table with them that I'll go X number. If I think the house, let's use round numbers, and I think the house is worth $200,000, I'll go 5 or 7% over that. I'll go to 215. But if you want to put that house on the market at 240, call Coldwell Banker. You know, because I don't need a yard sign. I mean, though I make money with yard signs, I don't need it. It's going to be a hassle. Nobody's going to buy the house. You know, it's going to get shown very little.
Sure.
And experience shows you that. I mean, you know, you don't sell a house without getting people in the door.
Well, not to mention just the process itself. I would have to say it's probably the only thing worse than buying a car. But mm-hmm. that whole process and that emotion you put into it, the time you put into it, and then to just, you know, get jerked around by a price you know is way too high, or walk into something and 4 weeks later realize it could have been something
different. Realtors are not going to show that house.
Right.
The buyers are going to talk to them about that house, and the realtors, a good, honest realtor is going to tell them, well, there's 12 of them left. I'm just kidding.
Don't say that, Bill. I might have some more of them in here.
I'm just kidding. I'll tell you who to get. It's going to say that house is not worth that. You know, you're asking us to go look at a house that if you fall in love with it, you're not going to be able to buy it.
They're
not going to move on the price. So
right.
that's what really, really transpires. The market's the preacher. I mean, the market's going to tell you what to do. You look at cases all the time. You have a sense of what a case is going to be worth.
Sure, I can generally tell you the value of a case. Yeah. Looking at it.
And
yeah.
So if somebody comes to you and says, "Well, I want you," you say, "I'm making get you $50,000." They say, "I got to have $150,000." Well, you're going to tell them to call Levin Rinky.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Or call because it's
or we're going to have a get right conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they don't get right, they're going to get gone. I mean, there's no way to convince, and the situation starts off bad from the beginning. They are expecting something that is not possible, and I'm not going to let them believe that. They need to adjust their thinking, because their thinking is thinking.
Well, when you're in the consumer business, like we both are, setting realistic expectations at the beginning is essential.
You have to.
Oh yeah. Man, the reality check sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and you're right though, because sometimes before you even get it off the paper, you're like, okay, this is not going to work,
or you can't find assets. You already talked about that.
Right.
I mean, why sue if there ain't nothing going to wind up at the end of it?
Because he can't bleed a turnip.
Yeah. Yeah. And I tell people to get second opinions. You know, I mean, you got to find the right fit.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, I'm sure that there are some clients that come in your door and you just know it's not going to be a good fit. Yeah. You're not going to be able to work together.
Yeah.
But so-and-so down the street might just be a better fit for them. And good for them if they match up with somebody who has a good fit.
I wish them the best. My mission is to get families in homes.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I love real estate. I love real estate. But I'm good at it, and I do pretty good financially. But at the same time, I get to see that emotion just like you do with those families that you help.
Right.
You know, those families that you recover losses that they had. I get to see puppies in backyards.
Yeah.
You know, and kids growing up
and playsets
being put up and stuff like that. So I get to truly experience the emotion of families, and I love that part of it. I mean, it's way more than money.
Yeah.
Is that part of it. And our way of selling houses has changed, not of selling houses, of helping buyers, has changed more in the last 5 years than it has the entire time. Before that, they pretty much had to get a realtor to get the information.
Right.
Now the information is everywhere.
Over
90% of buyers today already have houses they want to see before they ever talk to a realtor.
Sure.
You know, and so what my mission in life is to do my Facebook stuff, my website stuff, do everything that I do to have those people that want to look at houses find me. In addition to that, so I'll be one of those realtors that they call and say, "Bill, can you show me 3236 Bernath Drive next Saturday?" And hopefully that we will be able to do that. But
are you getting more calls these days from the actual people trying to buy the house, or are you getting more calls from realtors?
Are you being on my listings?
Yeah.
The value of a yard sign, and I always tell people this, and don't destroy what mistake what I'm saying, but having a listing, a good listing, not a bad listing, but a good listing, you're going to pick up two buyers off of that.
Right.
We're going to get calls on it. I get calls every Sunday on some of my houses. Don't work on Sunday, but my phone does.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right. And it holds everything till Monday morning.
Right.
If I'm sitting there in the afternoon, I'll talk to them. But
yeah.
I won't go show them the house. But the fact of it is, out of the ones that call on a house, call on a yard sign, less than 5% of them are going to buy that house.
Yeah.
But they have proven that they're ready to buy a house. They're looking at
houses. Yeah, they're in the market. They're looking.
My Facebook leads, and I'm very, very good at it. I'm one of the best Facebook marketers in real estate there is. And when I put up an ad Thursday, Friday, and Saturday on Cordova Park Homes, I got 12 leads off of that. Generally, a lead that comes into a real estate office is going to buy a house 300 or 400 days later. Hmm. They're just seeing something.
Right.
You know, they're just seeing something. They say, well, let me go look at it, and they register. But the yard sign folks, typically they're doing now. My mission in life is to find the combination of those two that are out there looking at Zillow and Trulia and all the other things and looking at houses and saying they want to see and having them become real, real buyers today. And there's a lot of things that go into making a buying decision.
Does Zillow help you at all?
I hate Zillow.
Yeah, tell me about that. My sister's in real estate in Jacksonville. She complains about it all the time.
Well, the values that Zillow puts up on houses are just incredible. They drive us nuts.
Well, I think I'd done some because they had some rentals and stuff listed on there as well. Yeah. I thought at one, and I don't know if they still do because this was a year or two ago. And I had a horrible experience trying to actually find a place.
Yeah.
You know, let alone negotiate a price.
Right.
So they're just wrong with their values,
they're
right?
I don't know. I have no idea where they get them. But I tell you this, you cannot, out of San Francisco, California, price a home in East Hill. In Pensacola.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no
especially
way.
In East Hill, you got to drive around.
It's not just that. In East Hill, there's three different sections of East Hill.
That's right.
You can't just say a house on Cross Street is worth what a house further south is worth. It's not going to be worth it.
Sure. Yeah. And I mean, I live in Cordova Park.
Yeah.
I mean, they're about
all over.
Four or five different sections
of
Cordova Park.
From 1.5 million in Cordova Park, some of those over there on Bayou Tahar.
Yeah.
You know, down to $125,000.
Yeah, right? If you're up on the hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible. What they need is a good realtor.
Right.
850-261-5133.
I was just going to ask
the number they can call or, they can call or text. Go to my website, PensacolaHome.com. I'm pretty well ranked on Google because I've had that domain since 1998.
Wow.
That's a long time in that business. That's a
What's the Facebook?
Pensacola Home. Why don't you, while you're listening out there, pick up your phone, open Facebook, go to Pensacola Home, and like it.
So we were at, what was it, the greeters thing for the chamber?
Uh-huh.
Man, it was awesome. He goes to introduce himself, had everybody pick up their phone. Before we were all done, we had all logged in and liked his page.
That is great. Picked up
42 likes that day.
Yeah, that was really, really.
That is,
I was like, that's pretty slick marketing right there.
Yeah.
I need to step my game up.
real estate marketing has changed so much in 5 years. I mean, I used to do a lot of TV and radio. But if you can't get that click to... Now, if they can't have some way of clicking on Pensacola Home or putting my phone number in and dialing my phone number from their phones, this is the world of real estate that we live in, is this thing right here.
Yeah,
right.
And if you can't grab that attention in 5 seconds.
If your mobile ads to where they look at my houses and they don't go out on the screen, they see all the pictures and everything else. Because I'm telling you, they're riding around pulling up houses.
Well, people do their own homework. They can do their homework right from their phone.
Absolutely.
So somebody says, call Bill Sheffield. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, man, that's great. That's a good recommendation. But I'm going to do my own homework on him real quick. I'm going to go to his Facebook page. Yeah. I'm going to see if he's got a website. I'm going to see if he's current.
Yep.
And if it looks like he hadn't done anything with his website in 30 days, then he must be lazy.
I know.
And since you're on it all the time, then no, you're not.
Yeah, well, it's true. Everybody can research whatever. I know I do it. I mean, whatever company's out there or wherever you think you're heading.
You can't hide nothing today.
You know?
Right? You can't hide nothing. You have a hard time getting the good out there, but you can't hide the bad.
Yeah.
Not in Pensacola, especially not on the web.
I mean,
I challenge people, go to Better Business Bureau, go to the chamber, find something bad about me. There's nothing out there.
Yeah. You know?
I live by code. I mean, I do. I practice my real estate career that's got to be legal, ethical, moral. I can sleep at night. And I tell you, I'm a Rotarian. So that Rotarian four-way test will lead your life if you let it. And I practice it every day of my life. I'm not going to tell you anything that's not true. My wife taught me when I first met her 30 years ago that you can't remember a lie.
Yeah.
So why do you lie?
Yeah. So why do it? Yeah.
You know, just tell people the truth. That way, the next time they ask you that question, the answer is the same.
Right.
I
was about to say, as if the lawyer over here doesn't know.
Yeah. Credibility is key.
It is. And you can't buy it back.
No, you really can't.
No.
That's why I said at the beginning of a case, I try to set expectations, realistic expectations. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, I mean, I'm generally pretty close to where I'm going to think the case is going to wind up. Sometimes I'm surprised, but anytime I think there's a change in the case, I'm going to bring a client in and talk with them.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure if you run into a hang up on a real estate closing, you got to call somebody in circle of wagons.
One of the things that you and I practice is information to the people we're dealing with. We have to understand they don't know nothing. They really don't. But like with my sellers and my listings, we have a lockbox system that's unlocked by this. But as soon as that happens, I get an email that Joe Blow showed my listing.
Yeah, actually, I saw that in my neighborhood the other day. I thought it was pretty cool. Yeah. You scan the code and then you can get the key and go check out the house, right?
That's true. And the realtors can. But I get an email saying that somebody showed my house. Well, I send them an email. Thank you for showing my listing at 1524 Lord Street. What did your buyers think about it? And give me your realtor opinion. That is blind copy to the seller.
Sure.
That's blind copy to the seller. The responses are sent to the seller because they need to know this is a lot of times a teaching situation to them. Things I already know that kitchen is not up to date.
Right.
And you're asking an up-to-date price, but rather than argue with them if they're within the price points, I'll let the market tell them. These realtors, they want me to give them honest evaluations of their listings. That's why they'll give me honest evaluations of my listings.
Well, you know, and
that helps the sellers.
Yeah, right.
Well, and just 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, I guess, you didn't have that much communication between, like the seller, I guess, wasn't really aware. You know, so much, all the little details that were going on behind the scenes.
It was hard to keep them track. We didn't have access to what we do now with our lockbox keys.
You know?
I mean, that's an invaluable tool.
Yeah.
It's part of my listing presentation. I call it my dining room table speech. If I'm sitting there with you, I'm going to tell you how this is going to transpire. You know, what's going to happen if we're not getting realtors to unlock that door to come into your house, something is wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because if that means that buyers are not picking your house, number one, because the buyers are picked, remember, 90% pick a house before they get a realtor.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So if realtors are not opening that door, showing that house, we're in a bad situation.
And you got to wait around for a key or anyone. I mean, you're done. You're disinterested immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So goes the beat of information technology these days.
That's true. And with that speed, you know this, they don't wait.
No,
the buyers or the sellers, they're not going to wait. They ain't got time to wait. They can go Twitter me. They can do anything they want to. They can find another realtor in a heartbeat.
Right.
Or another attorney or whatever the case may be. So my theory is that I want them to know everything I know. As soon as I know something, I'm going to tell you.
Right.
Because you don't know it.
Right.
And if I know it and you don't know it, we're operating on two different planes.
Sure.
You know, and you deal with it every day of your life.
Sure.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Same as you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to be able to explain it. You got to be able to keep them informed. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's probably all you need. I know my couple phone calls to you, Eric, it was just tell me that everything's going, you know, just let me know. Just, you know, and you got that sense of security. So regardless of whether it's happening as fast as you want it to or not, just the mm-hmm. fact that you know what's going on, you know.
Yeah. My experience has shown me too that, if a realtor is doing their job, in other words, I'm putting that house, when I have a listing, that house is on 400 sites around the country. I use systems, ListHub, Listings to Lead, everything else to make sure that they can't go to the web and not find your house, be it Yahoo, be it Bing, be it, you know, whatever the case, they might find that looking for houses. And, so if all of that is happening, and everything that's out there for people to find that house, and they're not coming in the door. Remember that dining room conversation when I told you this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I said these things, that kitchen is not updated?
Right.
There's pictures of the kitchen on the web.
Yeah, right. So they know.
No.
Right.
So, and when you have a house at a price point, this, let's say $250,000, and they can, and we don't have granite, and they can find another one with granite, if granite's important, you've just lost.
Right.
So it's imperative that we give them right information, and if we're right, prove it to them.
Right,
you're the same case.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
it's all in the facts.
Yeah, and if you're honest with them at the beginning, even if they don't like the answer, uh-huh. if you're proven right at the end, they say, well, you know, at least he told me the truth the whole time.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
I was prepared.
And you know what? They will recommend us.
Right.
Even if we don't sell their house, but we followed through and did everything we could do. They can't be mad at me because I did everything I told them I was going to do and told them everything that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, after I saw the cell phone trick at the greeters, and then everybody already knew his slogan, like he went to say it and they finished it for him. I was like, I think that guy's probably got a good handle on what he's doing.
Yeah, I can do everything. I can do any function that I've ever gone to. I can say where there's a bill and it'll be finished.
And they finish it. It really is an amazing thing.
Yeah.
So
I have branded that since 1997.
That is great.
You might want Eric might be able to copyright that for you.
Yeah. You know. Yeah.
Bill, tell them one more time where we can find all of your information.
Well, pick up your phones and open your phones up and go to Facebook. You got it? We'll wait for you. Give you just a second. Everybody on Facebook? Okay, go to type in up there in the search, Pensacola Home, one word. Okay, you got it? Like that page. That's how you do it.
And then you're going to be able to be in touch.
My website is PensacolaHome.com. I'm Pensacola Bill on Twitter. I'm Pensacola Home on LinkedIn, so you can pretty much find me anywhere.
Yeah.
I have...
You'll be on our website, too, by the end of the day.
I hope so. I need to be. You need to have me.
All right, Eric, you got to give it one more shout-out, too. Where we can find all your stuff.
Sure. So if you want some information about a personal injury case, we've got a free download on an information sheet. You can go to www.stevensonclots.com, and you can download some information about what to do if you're in an auto accident. And our phone number is 850-444-0000.
That still makes me smile. That's an awesome number. So, well, look,
I'm better than Pensacola Home. I gotta say. You're saying a lot.
That was pretty slick.
Yeah.
So I want to thank both of you guys for coming in the studio.
Hey, thanks
today.
For having us.
This has been
awesome.
Yeah. You're doing it with you, man.
Yeah, you too,
neat.
Bill. Yeah.
So, guys, you can find us at PCola Radio X for Twitter. On Facebook, we are Pensacola Business Radio, or you can visit our website and hear all the broadcasts, some live and then some loop over at www.PensacolaBusinessRadioX.com. Guys, again, thanks for being in today, and we'll see you guys later.